You'll look afterwards, you know, take a look, you'll check it out.
Sony, certainly.
Okay, man? Alright? So let's see. We have these pages. You want to do the mitzvah and just give it out?
Or? I think we're going to need more.
Oh, okay.
So, five.
I need another one. Yeah, there's another gentleman who's going to join us from Efrat.
Make a couple of copies.
An elderly person, his daughter is bringing him. I just got a phone call this second. I didn't catch the name, but we'll ask him his name when he comes.
We have to make room for him, I guess.
Oh yeah, see if we can offer him a place to sit over here.
We might have to move the table just a little bit.
Okay, so gentlemen, for Bav Metzia, before we get into Chulin, let's just take a look at the Mishnah again. We started the Mishnah yesterday.
What now?
So this is on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So this part of the Shir is a little bit of Chazara, which I like to do before we start the Shir, depending upon what time works out for us and so forth. And the focal point of our discussion of yesterday was on the first part of the Mishnah with Shmuel in the Gemara, and that was Mitzias Bino Ubito Haktanin. So we have a case of a Mitzia, which means there's no Das Acheres Machna here, because a Katan, you know, could be Zoche through Das Acheres Machna. That's a Kinyan Doraisa. That's why the whole problem of chinuch with regard to a lulav, that you know you give your son on the first day of Sukkot the lulav, and the halacha is lekachtem lachem, you need ownership. So you're going to be machned in the lulav, but he can't be machned in the lulav back to you. So you should be very careful that anyone who needs that lulav for the mitzvah on that first day should first be yotze before you give it to the katan. Because if you give it to the katan, then as far as your first day is concerned, you won't be able to be yotze the mitzvah. So there is das acheres machna, but we're talking now about a mitzvah, and the Rabbanan established that a katan could have zechia. But the Gemara is going to try to prove from a Mishnah, actually from a Braisa of Asochas Apoel, that the son has his own zechiah. And the nafkamina is going to be in the case of the poel vis-a-vis leket, right? That if the son has his own zechiah, then he has a din of an ani, he can pick up the leket. But if on the other hand, he doesn't have his own zechiah, basically he's an extended arm of his father, then in that case his father can't pick up the leket because he's called an ashir. Now again, why is he an ashir? He may not have anything in the bank, but he's considered a partner as an oris in the karka because he gets shlish revia mechza, and if they divide up the products of the field, that means the produce is divided lamazog in mechza. I'll just give you that example. So 50% goes to the owner of the field, 50% goes to the poel who's harvesting the crop, then he's excluded from matnas ani. So he cannot be zoche in the leket because he has the din of like a bailim. He's like a quasi-bailim over the field. And the bailim, of course, have an isa, they're not allowed to lo sashav lekachto, they're not allowed to pick up. But if, on the other hand, the katan has an ability to be zoche with his own yad, de oraisa, and that seems to be Rav Yossi's opinion, because Rav Yossi is going to allow the katan to pick up the peah, or in this case the leket, and bring it to his father, the poel. And that is even in the case of an oris who's lemechza l'shlishu revia, then Rabbi Yossi must be holding that a katan has a yad to be zocha to himself, hence I view the katan as independent of his father, and he's an ani, and therefore he can pick up the leke. Again, if Rabbi Yossi would have been discussing a case of a poel, a stam poel, right, he gets wages per hour, per day, so he's not considered an ashir. And if he has less than 200 zuz in his bank account, he's allowed to pick up the leket himself. Mm-hmm. But if, on the other hand, we're talking about a case where the poel is not paid per hour, but rather he gets a chelik in the produce, mm-hmm. if that was the nature of the agreement, then he becomes a quasi-balabayas, and he has the status of an ashir, no matter how little he has in the bank, and there's no way that his son could pick up the pay on his behalf. When I say pay, I mean leket shikur pay. It doesn't matter in this case. Why? Because the zchia of the katan is not an independent zchia, as we see in Shmuel, that Shmuel is going to say that the katan is zocha on behalf of his father, because he's merits. Right? Let's read the language of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel mitnei ma amru mitzias katan li aviv shebisha shemotza meritza etzel aviv. He brings it back to his father, and that means that he's basically a yad of his father. V'eino ma'acher biyado. He doesn't make an independent zchia. That's how we want to interpret this. One second. This page we didn't photocopy. Did we do this? I told you not to, I suppose. Right, Bayes. Right. We started with him. Okay. So again, I'll just read to you. One. I'll be with you, David, in a second. I just want to read to you the key line here that we had yesterday from the Maria Buov, and he says that Pire Shmuel. Shmuel says that Beglal Shemiritza Itzel Aviv Lo Tiknu Klal Shakotin Zochali Atzmo. In other words, there's no separate independent zchia, but rather he's zocha as an extended arm of the father. And if that be the case, we're going to have a problem with this brisa. That's the brisa of Leket.
Yeah, just tangentially before we go on, everybody asks about the question about sukkah. Is there also a question of chumetz on Pesachi? If a cotton has chumetz, he can't be mafkir, he can't be mocked into a goy, and maybe his father might have. It could be a problem.
If his father's rotzel lekaimo, maybe. How are you? We spoke on the phone.
Yes, Rabbi Gerson. This is my father, Sigmund Weiser.
Nice to see you.
Welcome. Can I call you Ziggy? No, I'm joking. Is anyone who calls me like that?
Okay, let me just, yes, I'm sorry for disturbing. We just, the first time we're here.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, there we go.
Do you know the name Weil by any chance? W-E-I-L? Oh. He, I knew a fellow named Ziggy Weil. He was from Hungary. So.
Oh, he's hungry.
Oh.
Are you kidding? We're so young to get.
Ziggy Weil. His son is a good friend of mine, Ari Weil.
Right,
so let's see do you want to be next to the table? Is that more comfortable for you?
This
okay.
Yeah,
we'll work this out. These are the glitches, you know, that you have to iron out if this experiment works.
Let me just see if I can. I think facing you.
That's good enough.
We
can move the table.
If you move a little table,
I'll just hold my tea because otherwise, if I don't hold my tea, we'll have licorice all over the table.
A little bit more. Okay, tease up.
Then you can sit right at the table.
Again?
Yeah. Okay, one more time. All right, very good. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay. Get it to sit at the head of the table.
Daddy, I'll be outside.
Thank you very much.
Great. So what we're talking about, just to get it to clue you in, we're talking about a case of leket. And what happens is the poel is working in the field of the balabais, and he's harvesting the wheat. And he leaves certain things behind. Let's say it falls from his hand. Like what he does is he cuts the wheat with a sickle, but some of it goes into a receptacle, and some of it fell out of the receptacle. That's called leket. So it belongs to the
Ani. Shikha and Maya.
And Peya, right. So we're up to leket right now. We'll get to Shikha and Peya. I'd like to forget about Shikha, but no, that was just a joke. Bad joke. Anyway, so now we're up to leket. Okay then? So what happens with leket? So the poel, could he pick up the leket himself in the event that he's an Ani? So the answer is, it might depend upon two different arrangements in terms of how the employment, how the poel is being paid. If he's paid per hour or per day,
then he's no worse than any other ani. And he could pick up the payah. Why? Because he doesn't have 200 zuz in his bank account. Let him pick up the leket. However, there's an arrangement called an aris, in which case he gets a percentage of the crops. And in such a case, we consider him as a miktas, a quasi-balabais, as if he owns the field, because he'll get a percentage of the produce of the field. So the Chachamim, we'll see Rabbi Yossi in just a minute, but the Chachamim say, in such a case, he's like a balabais, he's an usher, and he doesn't have rights to pick up the leket. Now Rabbi Yossi comes along and he says, but let his children, he has little children who he takes into the field, let them pick up the leket, and they'll bring the leket to their father. Why? Because the child is an ani, and he doesn't have a fat bank account, and he apparently is allowed to do this action of picking up the leket and then bring it to his father. That's the Shita Rabbi Yossi. So let's read that inside, and then we'll ask a question on Rabbi Yossi. It says Asochas Apoel. Does everybody have the place? First of all, make sure we're all on the same page. We're on Daf Yud Beis Amid Aleph.
Rabbi, do you want your standard?
No. Yeah. I'm doing fine. I got my tea. That's the main thing. So we're in the Gemara, and we're about five lines down. Vatanya. You see the line that starts Vatanya. Five lines into the Gemara. Hasochas Apoel is Yalakid Beno Akra. So now we're talking about a classic Poel Balabais relationship. The arrangement was such that he gets paid per hour. So if he gets paid per hour, then Yalakid Beno Akrav. Why? Because he himself is an ani. So the Poel is an ani. In theory, he could have taken the leket for himself. So what he does is he goes up and down the field, you know, cutting off the grains, and whatever falls behind him, he has his son pick it up on his behalf, because he himself is an ani. However, if it wasn't a classic case of a poel, where he gets paid per day, but rather it was lemechtza l'shlisha l'revia, so now he becomes an oris, and the arrangement was that he gets a certain percentage of the field, lo yalakit b'no achrov. This is the Tanakhama before we get to Rabbi Yossi, because the Tanakhama holds that in this case, he is considered like the balabais. His status is that of an usher. He's not allowed to take the leket. If he can't take the leket, then his son cannot take the leket on his behalf.
Right.
Because if the son is running with this leket to give it to his father, basically what's happening is the father himself is picking up the leket, and he can't do so because he has a percentage of the produce. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ben Kach Hu Ben Kach. Even in the case where he was being paid not as a yom, as a schir yom on a daily basis, but rather he was paid as a part owner, nevertheless, yalaked b'no v'ishto achra. And now we don't understand exactly what's going on. I mean, ishto I have no problem with, because ishto, she has an independent yad, and she could be zocha as an ani could be zocha in the leket. Or Shmuel halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. We paskin according to Shmuel like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara analyzes iamet bishlema katan isle zechil in nafshe ki kamalakit le nafshe kamalakit vavua minei kazochi el iamet katan lesle zechil in nafshe ki kamalakit li aviv kamalakit avua oshirhu amai. Now again, we'll come back to Ishto in just a minute, because Ishto is a little bit more complicated. But the question of B'no, the Gemara says the following: whether or not the Ben could pick up the leket on behalf of his father should depend upon two definitions of Yad, of how we halachically define the status of a katan in Hilchos Kinyan. Mm-hmm. Does he have a yad? Does the Torah recognize the katan's ability to pick up something without what, Rabbosai? without Das Acheres Makta. Again, I have to repeat that if it was Das Acheres Makta, there's no issue. Then for sure, there's a Kinyan Doraisa. But there's no Das Acheres Makta in the case of Leket, because it's basically Hefker. So if we assume that the Torah recognizes the yad of a katan to be zoche in hefker, which means that despite the absence of das chas makta, the Torah says a katan can be zoche in hefker. And again, we're going to look for a source for that in the Torah. But if we assume so, then everything is vundabar. Why? Because the katan is now an independent agent. He's working and operating on his own behalf. He has a yad to be zoche in the leket, and he's an ani. The fact that later on he gives it to his father, that doesn't bother him. Because once it went into the rishus of the ani, the ani has rights to give it to anyone he wants. The ani could actually bring it back to the Baal Bais and say thanks but no thanks.
It belongs to him.
It belongs to him with a full-fledged kinyan without any strings attached. So if the katan was zochem midoraisa with his yad, then we understand Rabbi Yossi very well. However, if you can assume, which we're going to try to prove that's Shmuel's opinion, that a katan doesn't have a yad on a doraisa level, he cannot be zoche in kinyanim, he can't make a kinyan on his own without das acheres makna, then basically what the rabbanan did was they gave the katan an extended a status of the extended yad of the father. What do I mean? What I mean to say is that it's not that the katan is zoche for himself, and then the katan could decide what he wants to do with it. You know, we don't give the katan so much credit to have das. And not only that, but let's go a step further. It's impossible for the katan to be zoche, because that would be chav lacherim. We have a principle that we learned back on Daf Yud: migud zoche l'nafshi, zoche l'chav. So it would only make sense that the katan would have an extended yad of the father. So it's not like the case of shibud d'rab nosan. You know, we're first it goes into the rishus of Shimon, and then it goes from Shimon to Levi. You know what I'm saying? In a two-stage process. Or maybe mishmash nachal, that first the son picks up the Yerusha, even though he's gone, he's bekever, and then he passes it back to his father. But rather, it's a direct line, a direct beeline from the katan to his father. How then can this chiyah be legitimate? Again, I'm not talking about the kinyan per se right now, but could it be legal, could it be permissible, according to halacha, when there's an iser for the balabais, in this case the poel who is a balabais, because it's lemech tzlish l'shavir, to be zoche in the leket? How can the son be zoche in the leket on behalf of his father, when his father is considered an ashir, and we're talking about leket, which is matnas aniyim? The only way we could justify Rabbi Yossi is if we assume that a katan has a yad to be zoche midoraisa. So then he's zoche midinani. And he picks up the leket and it's his. If he wants to give it to his father, it's tavol of bracha. But the only problem is that Shmuel Paskin is like Rabbi Yossi. And Shmuel is the one who told us that a katan has no yad. He's just meritzei tzel aviv. Immediately when he picks it up, he's doing so on behalf of his father. Well, that's not going to be good in leket, because how can we cut and pick it up on behalf of his father? So let's see the Gemara inside. The Gemara says, "Amai ishto bno malaket acharov." Again, I don't know if ishto here is agav grora or not. Now, at this point, Rabosai, I believe you have footnote number Yudalit in front of you. Is that correct? It should be the first note on the bottom right of your page.
Yeah.
So here we have Tosfos and Rabbeinu Chananel. So again, according to... Yeah? We're good?
Rabbeinu Chananel.
Yeah, first we'll start with Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel is going to tell us that when it says in the Mishnah, in this Braisa, I keep calling it a Mishnah, but you know whenever I say Mishnah, I mean a Braisa here, that in a case of Shlish, Revia, etc., Lo Yalakit B'no Achrov, because the Poel has a status of what? Of an Ashir. In that, again, according to the Tanakhama, we're not up to Rabbi Yossi yet.
It's because he has an obligation himself to give Matnos Aniyim.
Okay, maybe you could say that, but again, he's an Ani. I don't know exactly if we're going into detail about bialis of an Ani over a Sada, meaning Leket Shikapay is only generated by bialis over a Sada. Right. Otherwise, it's
so
stuck.
If he's the Meta, the Shlish Levia, then he...
He has a quasi bialis over the Sada.
He has an obligation, or is it on the Baal HaSada?
Again, it's a shutif, it's a case of partnership. Let's say if you and I have joint ownership over a field, then both of us are equally chayav in the midst of leket shechupeya.
Then the boy can't give it to him because he has to give it to the aniyim himself.
Correct, exactly. And that's what we're actually saying according to Tanakhama. We're going to have to figure out Rav Yossi, but Rav Yossi says there's no way, no how, that the katan can be zocha on behalf of his father because his father is an usher.
Yeah.
But now he tells you to look at Tosis Divya Maskel Ve'avuha. Do you see where it says Lav Dafka Usher?
Mm-hmm.
Lav Dafka Usher. It's almost at the bottom of Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. It's, I think, more or less about 10 lines up from the bottom, maybe less. And he says, "Kevon sheyeshlo chelik basada." Okay, this is the case of mechza shlisha revia. Is chayav beleket, and once it's a chayav leket, then we can apply the law of lo salaket leoni legeli osam titnena. Kedar shina lo rabbalosu begitin lo sayefine. Rabbanami o nafkalon mikra chrine. Okay, so there's a machlokus exactly how you derive this isur of lo salaket. But the bottom line is that there is an isur of lo salaket that applies in the case of the Baal HaSada. And he says that it doesn't matter whether he's an usher or he's an ani. Let's say he has a small sada. A person owns a sada, but it's a relatively humble parcel of land. And it's not even worth 200 zuz on the market. Technically, he's an ani. But nevertheless, since he owns the sada, he gets the status of an usher. So Tosa says, lav dafka usher. You don't have to tell me that he has, again, the shear of an usher is 200 zuz. You don't have to tell me that it's 200 zuz worth of possessions. He may have less than 200 zuz, but it doesn't matter. He has the same status as usher vis-a-vis matnas aniyim because he is the owner of the field. Yesh lo chelek basada. So the Masifta embellishes Tosis a little bit in this footnote number Yudalid, and he writes the following, that Rabbeinu Chanan went too far. Rabbeinu Chanan said that he's an Ashir. And the reason he's an Ashir, you know, in Rabbeinu Chanan's perspective is because he's getting such a hefty sum of a reward, a payment from taking half the produce. So in Rabbeinu Chanan's mind, you envision him as an Ashir. So Tosa says, don't get too carried away with this Rabbeinu Chanan. He's a Baal Bayit. So I don't have to say he's an Asher. Maybe he's not an Asher. He's an Ani. It's irrelevant. He's the Baal HaSada. He says, Afilu einu nechshav ki Asher biglal avodasa zu. Even if you'll grant that his avoda in the Sada and the financial agreement that they organized is not enough to make him into an Asher, mikol makom asur hu beleket, he's not allowed to take the leket. Kevin sheyesh lo chelek bakotzir, that up front he gets a percentage of the produce, who nechshav kibala bayis besoda. I call him a partner in the sod, because we're not excluding the real balabayis. I mean, I don't think he can sell the field, but he has what's called, and this is a major sugya, a kinyan peros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I can pay you money for your services, or I can pay you peros. Peros then is money. You know, it has value on the market. So I'll pay you peros. This is not our case over here. Our case is that the karka itself belongs to him for peros. He doesn't have a full-fledged ownership in the karka. He doesn't have what we call a kinyan aguf in the karka. But he has a kinyan peros in the karka. And once he has a kinyan peros, he's considered the Baal HaSada. Now, I'm not sure if this is a special din in Matnas Aniyim that we consider in the Baal HaSada, or maybe this is a universal halacha in all of Dini Mamonos. I'll give you an example. In a ksuba, the Baal owns the payrolls, right? That's called Nixay Malug. I mean, there's something else called Nixay Tzobas, but Nixay Malug, the Baal, in the framework of marriage, owns the payrolls. Can he sell the karka?
No.
It could be that he could sell the karka liperosa. And she may not be able to block him from selling the peros to the karka because he owns the karka to the peros. Now the Gemara asks, what do you mean he's going to sell the peros? It's a dar shalav holi olam. The peros are not yet ripe on the tree. How can you sell peros? So the Gemara answers that kinyan peros ki kinyan aguf tami, which means it's as if he owns the goof of the field, and now he can sell the field with peros. And that's a dar shalav holi olam. So I'm not sure if the Gemara is saying that every sharecropper who has a percentage in the peros, he's considered a Baal HaSada. Does that mean that the Gemara is assuming here that kinyan peros ki kinyan aguf tami? That's as if he really owns the karka in classic Dini Mamonos? Or we're holding that kinyan peros lav ki kinyan aguf tami? He doesn't really own the karka, but in Hilchus Matnas Aniyim he's called a karka. He's called a Baal HaSada. But in any event, whichever way you slice the cake, Tosis goes out of his way to point out that we should not misunderstand Rabbeinu Chananah. When Rabbeinu Chananah calls him an Oshir, right, there are two people who are excluded from Matnas Aniyim. They cannot take Matnas Aniyim. One is an Oshir, and one is a Baal HaBayis, the Baal HaSada. When you read Rabbeinu Chananah, you get the misimpression that we're going to classify this Poel as an Oshir. Name, that can't be. He's not an Oshir. Maybe he is an Oshir. Maybe he's not an Oshir. Who can gave ace? Go figure it out. Find, you know, ask his accountant. But the real punchline here is not that he's a Baal, not that he's an Oshir, but rather that he is a Baal HaSada. That's what Tosis says. Okay, that's one footnote. Okay. So the Gemara answers the following. Shmuel Taima de Tana de Danka Omar Velelo Svirle. Shmuel himself is of the opinion that a katan could be Zochen a Metzia himself, hence we understand his acceptance of Rav Yossi. But his comment that the katan is an extension of the arm of the Baal HaBayis, that was only said in the context of the Mishnah. Meaning the Tana of our Mishnah holds that the Kotan is Zocha not li Atzma but li Aviv. But he himself, Shmuel, is not in agreement with our Mishnah. He accepts the Shita of Rabbi Yossi who says that a Kotan is Zocha li Atzma. So the Gemara now analyzes this Shita of Rabbi Yossi. V'sover Rabbi Yossi Kotan Islei Zechia Midoraisa. Is this really possible? We're going to now learn a Mishnah in Gittin. This is the famous Mishnah of Takonas Darkei Sholem. What we should really do if we want to learn this Mishnah properly is we should ask Yechiel to print out the Encyclopedia Talmudit Erech Darkei Sholem. But again, I don't know if I'm going to ask you to do that because you've done enough for it. I think you have access to the Encyclopedia Talmudit, right? You can get that even in Bar Ilan if you have the plus, right? By the way, if anyone's buying Bar Ilan, I highly recommend that you spend the extra shkolim to buy the plus, because the plus, in my opinion, is worth more than the whole of Bar Ilan. Anyway, so he says the following: Hatnan, we have a Mishnah. So again, we're assuming that Rabbi Yossi holds that the reason why in Leket Shikumpeah the katan is allowed to collect on behalf of his father, who's the poel, and we said that the father has the status of a Baal HaSada, and Rabbi Yossi says nevertheless the katan could collect a peah, or the leket, is because he has a yad to be zocher himself on a deraisa level. So first the leket goes into the rishus of the katan, then the katan has an oni, has full-fledged bialis over the leket. Vatnan, we have a mishnah in Gittin, mitzias chere shotav a katan yeshbe mishum gezel midivrei mipnei darkei sholom, which means that if a katan finds a mitzia, you're not allowed to grab it away from him. Why? because of Darkei Sholom.
Not because he has a yad.
Excellent. We're not going to say that he has a yad to be Zoche, because then we're talking about Gzela, but rather we're going to talk about a Takonis Chachonim called Darkei Sholom. And if it's only Mishum Darkei Sholom, then we understand that he has no yad to be Zoche. So there are two categories of Gezel. There's one called Gezel Mishum Badarkei Sholom. There's another category of Gezel Doraisa. Where do you fit Mitzias Cheirishot V'Kata? Well, it all depends on our Chakira. If we're going to say that a Katan has a Yad to be Zoche Doraisa and a Hefker, then we don't need Darkei Sholom here. This is not Gezel Mishum Darkei Sholom. This is Gezel Gomor. He's Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gomor. So at this point if you would stop right now, freeze the ball, freeze the frame, I would say, then everything works out beautifully. That this is Rabbi Yossi Lishi Tasso. Rabbi Yossi's being very consistent, just like Rabbi Yossi says that the cotton can be Zoch in the Leket because he's an Ani. So too the cotton can be Zoch in any Mitzia, Dor Raisa. And if you steal it from the cotton, you are in violation of Gezel Gomor. So all that is great. Except for the problem of Rav Chisda. So if not, again, as I say, Rav Chisda is going to give us a little bit of a headache. The Amar Rav Chisda says in the Gemara in Gittin, don't misunderstand Rav Yossi. Heaven forbid Karamba to say that Rav Yossi had in mind Gezel Gomer Da'oraisa because the cotton has a yad to be Zoche. And by the way, what that would mean is that if you stole a mitzvah from a katan, you would be pasul yedus. You know, the classical case of a psul yedus, thank you so much, is going to be a gazlan. You know, ein lecha psul gadol mizeh. You know, the Gemara in Sanhedrin wonders about a gazlan who steals something from a katan, where he's pasul yedus. Yeah, he would never take it from you, but he would take it from little Jimmy, right, the little katan, that he's willing to do. Ella, but rather says Rav Chisda, Gezel Gomer Midivrehem. So now let's understand. We have three categories on both sides. Three categories of Gezel. And they all reflect different definitions of bialos. There's Gezel Gomer Doraisa, there's Darkei Sholom, and in the middle there's something called Gezel Gomer Midivrehem. Now honestly, if I cover the next line in the Gemara, make believe we didn't have it on the page, this confuses me to no end. How can you talk about Gezel Gomer Midivrehem? It's Gezel Midivrehem, whether you call it Darkei Sholom or call it Gezel Gomer Midivrehem. The fancy appellation here of Gezel Gomel Bidivrayim doesn't impress me. I'm not impressed by that. I call it Gezel Mishum Darkei Sholom. The Chachamim said you're not allowed to take it away from the Katan. And if you do so, that's called Gezel Mipnei Darkei Sholom. So why does Rav Chisda think that Rav Yossi says, no, don't call it Gezel Midarkei Sholom. No, that's an insult. This is a real Gezel Midivrayim. Mm-hmm. It's a Gezel Gomor Midivrehem. What if you... I'm not impressed by that. You upgraded from Gezel Midin Darkei Sholom to Gezel Gomor Midivrehem. My nafkimina. Now, I was wondering if, let's say... Just one second. What would be an example... Just one sec, give me a second. Let's go back to David's point. David, are you with me?
Yeah.
You mentioned something about chametz, did you not? Okay, so let's go back to David's case of chametz. Okay, Reuven owns chametz. Correct? Reuven owns chametz. One second. No, forget it. No one owns chametz, right? So it's hefker. Let me just get this straight. The chametz is hefker. And now a katan grabs onto this chametz. And now Reuven, a gadol, steals it from the katan. Now, if you're going to say that the katan owns the chametz da'oraisa, meaning if the katan has a yad lischia min haTorah in hefker, so then the katan would be over Bal Yerubay Motzi, but he's not chayv in Bal Yerubay Motzi, and the gadol is a gazlan. Again, we have to know Masechet Pesachim, you know, if a gazlan is chayv on Bal Yerubay Motzi. But let just lesaber to ozen, as we say, grant me this, that a gazlan is not over on Bal Yerubay Motzi, unless he makes a shinu, you know, he changes the object, and it was me karachitin, you know, solas, you know, he grinds it down. Yeah. But let's say if it's be'en, and the Torah says ve'ishiv is like zeilish or gaza. So in that case, he does not have ownership, and he does not violate Bal Yerubay Motzi. Correct? That's only if I assume that the katan was zoche in this chametz da'oraisa, and therefore the gadol who steals it from the katan is a gazlan. He doesn't have any ownership on it. But let's say that on a deraisa level the katan has no yad to be zoche. So the rabbanon made a takana mishum darkei sholem. Darkei sholem means that, you know, it's not a nice thing to do, you know, to take it away from the katan. But he went ahead, this shlub named Reuven, and he took it for himself. Basically, if he takes it for himself, he now has a complete kinyan d'oraisa on the chametz. He's going to violate Bal Yerubay Motzi. So I have these two polar extremes. I have one extreme which says the katan is zochem d'oraisa, and now Reuven is a full-fledged gazlan of this chametz. He's not in violation of Bal Yerubay. I have the other extreme where it's only a din of darkei sholem, but the katan doesn't own it. Not midoraisa, not midorabbanan. It's just darkei sholem. Mishum darkei sholem, stay away from it. He went ahead, he's a chutz bin yak, and he took it out of the katan. So he violated darkei sholem. But he made a kinyan, he made an acquisition. He's in violation of Bal Yerubay Motzi. Forget about Bal Yerubay Motzi. He went and used Mekadosh and Isha. So he has to be Mekadosh and Isha with his chametz, or if it's not chametz, whatever it is, whatever the object is it his? So if you hold it's only a darkei sholem issue, maybe there's no real bialus of the katan, not even midrabanan, and now the gadol could acquire ownership by stealing it from the katan. And now we have something in the middle. Gezel gomer midivrei. What the rabbanan are doing in this case is they're saying that it's absolute gezel, meaning that the katan could acquire ownership midrabanan. The rabbanan are giving the katan a yad. It's not just an ethical, you know, issue of etiquette of mishum darkei sholem, stay away from it because you're going to create anarchy, but rather rabbanan established that he has a kinyan. So now let's go back to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is telling us why it was that Rav Yossi and the Mishnah in Gittin stood up and he made a machah. And he said, no, don't tell me, as you would have it, that it's Gezel Mishum Darkei Sholem. You know, give him a patch on his finger, he's a bad guy because he's creating animosity. But rather, says Rav Yossi, Gezel Gomer. So we thought that Gezel Gomer meant that he, the Katan, has a Yad L'Schia Midoraisa. And that would be wonderful, because that would explain Rav Yossi in the case of Leket. Nay, Rav Chisda attached an addendum here. No, you should not misunderstand Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi never meant to say that a katan has a yad l'schia d'oraisa, and therefore this gezel would be gzela on a d'oraisa level. That chas v'shalom, you're going way too far. That wasn't the intention of Rav Yossi. But rather, Rav Yossi meant to tell us, Gezel Gomer Midivrayim. It's not Gezel Mishum Darkei Sholem, but rather it's Gezel Gomer Midivrayim. So what's the big deal? Why is Rav Yossi getting all huffy-puffy about it? You have to upgrade this to Gezel Gomer Midivrayim. Nafkimina, what is he arguing about? Lehotzia B'dayanim. Does the katan have recourse? I mean, he has to hire a good lawyer, but does he have recourse to take this guy to Beis Din and force him to return the object? If you would hold like the Chacham in the Tanakam, who says it's only an issue of Darkei Sholem, okay, as we said, give him a patch, you know, give him a nazifa. How do you say in English a nazifa?
A rebuke.
A rebuke. Okay, good. Yeah, yeah, okay, I was looking for a different word. Anyway.
Repudiation.
Yeah, you repudiate him. Is there such a word? Okay, so you know, maybe that Shabbos he shouldn't get shishi. Right? You know, that's Darkei Sholem. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, he says, name, the Rabbanan gave the cotton a yad, and now he's zocher in this mitziah, and as a result of the fact that he's zocher this mitziah, if somebody steals it from him, then at least on a Rabbanan level, the halacha is that he can have recourse and sue the guy as a gazlan. Midrabanan, he is a gazlan.
And the court will return it to him.
And the court will force the gazlan to cough it up and return it. And I'll tell you, beyond that, I was wondering, because I'm learning also a little bit of Masechta Sanhedrin in the morning, and it could be that this gazlan is pasul liedus midrabanan, because the psul liedus category of a gazlan is not just a gazlan d'oraisa, but they're psul liedus d'rabbana. I'll give you an example. Mesachik b'kubya, the Gemara assumes, is pasul liedus only mid-rabbana. On a d'oraisa level, he's not a gazlan. When the Torah pasul the gazlan liedus, it means he put his hand into someone's pocket and stole something. That's not the case of a gambler. Now, I'm not in favor of gambling. It's not such a great idea because you can get really hooked in gambling. I was lucky. I was once in Las Vegas. Have you ever been to Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff, you got to go. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's not...
Yeah, from Morocco.
Look, I'm not saying it's Morocco. It's not that much.
Sin City. City.
So I don't know about Sin City. I mean, there's a beautiful Lubavitcher place. But anyway, I think Las Vegas is the fastest growing Orthodox Jewish community in America today. I think they're up to 9 kosher restaurants. Anyway, so there's such a mentality, American marketing psychology, it's brilliant. You can't stay in a hotel in Las Vegas unless you are in a hotel where there's gambling, meaning there are...
through the casino.
The casino. You got to walk through the casino to get to the street. So I walked through the casino, there was a quarter on the floor. So I said to my wife, this is a side minute Shabbat, so I put it in the slot machine. Thank God I didn't get anything. I just lost the quarter. It was easy come, easy go. Imagine that I won something. So a gambler is not a gazlan midoraisi. He's a gazlan midorabbanon. Why? Because the rabbanon a choshesh that asmachta. Maybe, you know, every gambler thinks he's going to win. I never understood why, because I think a piece of statistics, it's a very low percentage.
Yeah, very low.
You know, in certain games, I think you can, you know, you can read someone's mind or, you know, see on space. I don't know, you're very clever. Maybe you know how to do it. But, you know, what's that thing, that machine that goes roulette. Around the roulette? Yeah, I don't know if you can outsmart those guys. So, but anyway, there are people who are winners and they get addicted. But that's asmachta. That might be an asmachta. We don't know if it's in a smachta because usually both sides have an absolute decision. You know, if you win, you take the pot. But anyway, it's gezel derabbanan. So what the Gemara means here by lahotzi bidayanim, according to Rav Yossi, is the rabbanan didn't just say darkei sholem. You know, stay away. You know, we don't want to create anarchy here. It's not nice etiquette. It's the fair. You know, you get in a zifa. What the rabbanan said is that min rabbanan he has a yad. And the cotton's mitziah is his midrabanan. And if you steal it from him, you're a gazlan midrabanan. And you'll be posuliedus. And therefore, the cotton now has recourse to go to Bezdin and force the gazlan to give up the object and return it. Now, if that be the case, we're really stuck. Because let's go back to leket. Rabbi Yossi says, benkach u'benkach, meaning in the case of leket, even if he is an owner of the field, a part owner, because he's what? He's got melmechza l'shlish u'relevia. Nevertheless, his son, the katan, could pick up the payah. Now, how could his son, the katan, pick up the payah if the katan doesn't have a yad d'oraisa, which means all he is the extension of his father? So we now, according to Rav Chisda, have a contradiction between one statement of Rabbi Yossi and the other. Again, if you'd ask me, I would drop Rav Chisda. I mean, who says we have to accept Rav Chisda? But the Gemara thinks that we have to accept Rav Chisda, and therefore we're in trouble. Or, alternatively, how would Rav Chisda reconcile the two statements of Rav Yossi? So now comes Abaye. Now Abaye wants to shed a new light
on our Mishnah, and perhaps on the din of Matnas Ani. Ela Omra Baye Asua Kimisha Holchu Ba Nimushos. Now in Matnas Aniyim, we have halacha that, which is called Hesech Hadas. I think we mentioned this with the Sugya of Rabbi Gamliel, with the Maser. Remember, we said that Yoshua ben Chananya, he was able to be zoche in the Maser midin chotzer. So we asked, what's going on? How could chotzer work over here when it's eno ome b'tzad sodei? Remember, we had a whole discussion about that.
Yeah.
So we explained over there that there's a concept called Hesech Hadas. What does that mean? That basically Rabbi Gamliel doesn't own the Maser because Tovas Hanah Lav Mamon. But what he does own is called Tovas Hanah. So what happens is that if the Maser is located in the Chatzer of Yoshua, of the Levi, then all we need is for Levi to acquire, all we need in order for Levi to acquire ownership on the Maser is that all the other Levim give up hope. That's called Hesech Hadas. That's where Tovas Hanah comes to play.
They're Miyayish.
Exactly. Tovas Hanah means, like the Gemara calls it in Git Makire Kahuna, that I always give my Truma to one Kohen, that all the other Kohanim are Mesech Das.
Yes.
In Leket Shikur Peah, the halacha of Hesech Hadas that applies in Matnas Kahuna and Leviya is called Mishaholchu Bo Anamushos. What does it mean? So you have waves and waves of Aniyim who go through the field. What's the word? Not scrounge. How do you say it?
Scavenge.
What? Yeah, anyway, they
rummage.
They rummage through the field, and at some point, the other aniyim are mesiach das. Maybe there's some little piece of leket or shikha that was left behind, and the other aniyim didn't see it, then they didn't find it. So at this point, we give over the payah to the nemushos. You know, the nemushos are those last. Did you ever hear the phrase lekute basa lekute? Have you ever heard? So these are the last collectors. You know, they're desperate. They really think maybe they'll find something in the field that somehow the other aniyim didn't find when they what was the word you used? When they scavenged through the field.
They combed it.
They combed the fields. Excellent.
There's nothing left.
Oh, so now what happens? We have a mission in Peah called Holchu Bo Anamushos. So you'll see this on the photocopied page that you have. Yeah? But now we're not in the footnotes, we're in the text itself. Do you have El Omar Abaye, such a text?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so you'll see he quotes the Mishnah. Me'ema Saikol Adam Mutarim Beleket. At what point do the Aniyim give up hope? And they are Mesiach Das, Mishiyelchu Ba Hanemushos. Hanemushos Heim HaZekenim. So the Zekenim actually, you know, they're a little bit bent over. And they see very closely to the ground. They're close to the ground, right? In Yiddish, it's called Eingebogen. Are you familiar with that phrase?
No.
Eingebogen. You know, Eingebogen, what's it called in English? You know, when your spine is bent in.
Bent over, kyphosis.
Yeah. What's it called? It?
Spinal stenosis.
Wait, I didn't hear it. Say it again.
Kyphosis.
One more time, sorry.
Kuf, Yud, Fei, Rav, Sama.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't catch that. What's it called?
Kyphosis.
Kyphosis. Okay, great. I learned a new word. Of course, I'm going to forget it in about 5 minutes, but kyphosis. Okay. It sounds like, you know, I can kyphose you. Okay. So these are the kyphosis guys. They are called the nemushos. Nemushos means those who crawl, right? Because they're bent over with the sticks. And they're the last ones to find all the pain. And yet, after they went through, at this point, you know, the younger Aniyim say, there's no chance. Nothing's left. They cleaned out everything. So at that point, there's absolute Hesech Hadas, and anyone could come along and take the pay. Now, we're going back to our case of the Poel and his sons. Now, I'm not sure what the word Asa'ua is. Asa'ua means this is a takonis chacham. So don't ask me questions here about why the chacham are motivated to do so. This is a pella to me. I don't know why. Maybe the chachamim had rachmanis on the poel. I'm not sure why. But what he's saying is that aniyim gufayu mesech datayu. This hesech hadas on the part of the aniyim. So basically, when the katan, according to Rabbi Yossi, picks up this peah as an extension of the arm of his father, because again we're saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, it's only gezel midivrayim, right? It's only gezel midivrayim in the case of a katan, i.e., the katan does not have a yad to be zocheh in the leket. And if he doesn't have yad to be zoch in the leket, how could he be zoch on behalf of the poel? After the poel, we said, is an asher, or he's a balasoda, balabai. So Rabbi Yossi is saying that here we have hesek hadas. That the Rabbanan considered it that since the poel is working in the field, and he has his children very close, you know, very close with him. So again, his children technically cannot be zoch in the leket, unless there's a new halacha here called hesek hadas. Shesavri, because the aniyim say brei dehaich malachti. You know what? We don't have a shot at this peah. You know, the poel is taking his son with him. It reminds me of the, what's it called in golf? You know, that you always have that guy who carries the clubs for you.
Caddy.
Yeah. So my son is going to be my caddy, and he's a tzamud to me. You know, he's always connected to me. He's going to get the first shot at the peah. The truth is that if the aniyim was smart, if they would ask a shayla, they would realize that the katan has no right to pick up the leker. So they have a shot at the leker, but they don't realize that. They think that this poel brought in his caddy, his son, because they're going to pick up the leker. All right, Rabosai?
So in theory, the poel can pick it up himself if you have a...
Absolutely. The poel can pick it up himself.
But if the son wasn't there, they wouldn't do it. It would be miyadi. So you use the son for the...
Right, to set up the hesek hadas.
I think the asa'uha is because it's not an objective reality.
Yeah, it's true. But usually the word asa'uha means that the chacham made a special takana here. So that's the part I don't understand. Unless maybe asa'uha means just that they considered it as if, you know... They checked out the aniyim, and the aniyim made a decision that they don't have a good shot at it. Okay, then?